Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Live from the corner of Broadway and Battery, this is the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game. Now, Damon Bruce.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Here we go on a Friday afternoon, and guess what? Everything is back to normal among the land of Golden State Warriors fans and among the Warriors themselves. They redeemed themselves with that effort last night. Kevin Durant was phenomenal. The Coca-Cola of buckets, that's what I want. That's how I want it. It was almost as if he was taking a request from yours truly. The game that I wanted to see out of him, pretty much the game we got out of him. The Warriors around him were absolutely spectacular last night, and that game was basically over about 7 minutes into it. It was a margin that the Warriors maintained pretty much the entire way. Ray, I know you love serendipity. Did you happen to notice that with Steph Curry in foul trouble, they were up exactly 31 at almost exactly the same point in the game? And it almost felt like, is this going to Finnegan begin again? But Iguodala hits a corner three and we can live.
No, the only thing I thought when it got to 31 was, well, is this going to go down to 20 before they stop, or is it going to stay at 31? And it essentially stayed there.
It was an impressive night of Warriors basketball. They looked good all night long. Laser focus across the board. Warriors were locked in from the tip. They were not They played their style of basketball, and Kevin Durant set the tone early. He knocks down five jumpers in the first 6 minutes of the game. He was aggressive. He stayed aggressive. He nearly tripled his shot total from game two. And that, like, Kevin, that's what it's supposed to look like. There it is. I'm not saying be a ball hog. I'm not saying take and deny opportunity from Steph Curry or Klay Thompson to contribute. It's not about them doing less. It's about you doing more. And with Kevin Durant doing more the way that he was doing more last night, Ray, this includes the Houston Rockets and the Milwaukee Bucks. Like, bring them all on. When the Warriors are back to that, they're back to being the best team on the planet, bar none. Let's play the game. I mean, I guess there's a little bit more to figure out this year because there's interesting wrinkles here and there, but they're back to looking really, really good. I think we can put all of our anxiety panic buttons far away. And we hopefully don't take them out until they lose a game against the Houston Rockets.
I had no anxieties about this at all. One, because I'm not emotionally committed to this team in any way. It's an interesting team to watch. But what was interesting, they just let the offense run. And Durant got his shots, not because he insisted on them, but because they came to him. And that's how the offense is supposed to work. The other thing is they defended fiendishly for much of the night. I mean, you know, never mind the 132 they scored. They kept the Clippers under 110. And in this era, that's the equivalent of holding a team under 95. I mean, they did what they are supposed to do at both ends of the floor, and all the things that people wanted to see happened because of that.
And make it easier on yourself by not turning the ball over, and what do you know, only 12 turnovers for the Warriors last night, 35 assists, that's a nice number for them to get to, usually equals they're going to win. And look, I'm not saying that he played outside of the Warriors' offense to get his shots up. I don't think he necessarily played inside the Warriors' offense as he was not clicking in game two. Kevin Durant, again, that's the Coca-Cola of scoring right now. And when the Warriors can just have a Coke and smile, everything starts working for this team. I think the ball starts hopping because of the scoring. It's not he starts scoring because the ball starts hopping. when he sucks a lion's share of the defense's attention in. He knows exactly what to do with the ball, and he was great. And that's the version of Kevin Durant I want. I don't want Diet Coke. I don't want Coke Zero. I don't want New Coke. I want Coca-Cola Classic. I want Durant Classic. And I thought that was a Durant Classic game last night. I felt 2 games ago we got a New Coke game out of Kevin Durant. I didn't like it. I want a Durant Classic. We got one. If you're a Pepsi drinker and you need a new analogy just to fit your personal choices, think Pepsi, Crystal Pepsi. Crystal Pepsi was game 2, Durant, normal Pepsi. Game 3, Kevin Durant. And he's so good, even in this system, Ray. And it's a system that pairs him with the greatest shooter in the history of the sport. And it pairs him with another guy who's probably going to finish with the second most threes in NBA history in Klay Thompson. And Curry and Klay, I think, have a full understanding. The coach seems to have a full understanding. And the player, Durant himself, has the understanding that even with all that out there, he is still, you know, this is, Curry may be the king, but if this were a game of chess, he would be the queen, because that's the most versatile piece on the board. And he is the most versatile player in this league right now. That block that he had last night, man, if we only get to watch him for 15 more games, I am going to miss that, if that's really what it is.
You have a TV, though, right?
I do. I do.
And you could get NBA pass, league pass, if you wanted to, right?
Yeah, but Nick...
So you can watch him as much as you want.
Nick's games usually start while I'm on the air. You know, 4 o'clock East Coast, my time.
There are 2 televisions right there.
I know. I like
you
watching
can watch
Kevin
him. You can tape him. I like you watching, can watch it later.
I like watching Kevin Durant in a Warriors uniform. I do.
Well, I mean, fine. You'll get your 15 more games or whatever it is, and you'll just... You'll deal with it afterward. But it's not like he's going to die after the season's over.
He's not. I think he'll be just fine. The Warriors were fine last night. The Sharks, by the way, didn't die last night. That's good news for them. They're still in a sticky situation, though. A great season-preserving win from the Sharks last night. However, 3-1 is the hole that they're trying to dig themselves out of. The Sharks are 0-6 all-time in a 3-1 hole. They're 1-12. When they're down 3-2 in a series, 1-12 in Game 6. So
they don't push back from adversity well. But being down 3-1 means you have a 9% chance of winning a series. So, you know, it's they have a long push. I wouldn't be surprised if they lost Game 6. I would be surprised if they lost Game 6 the way they lost Game 4. I mean, I still believe Vegas is a better team. I still believe they have the better goaltender. And I think that will show in Game 6, and then they'll be done. But they aren't going to go out like Kurs. Kevin Kurs. Dogs.
Thank you. We have a good show for you today. Phenomenal. Monty Poole stops on by at 4 o'clock.
He's not phenomenal.
A 5 before 5 at 4:45. Brian Geltzeiler today at 6 o'clock. We're going to be taking it to the tweets as well in our 6 o'clock hour. I believe that's a flavor of the show you have yet to taste, Ray. I think you're going to like that.
Let me go gargle.
You don't have to do anything other than read tweets. It's very, very easy. It's a user-friendly segment for the hosts. You're going to like that an awful lot. Trust me about it.
Good, I could take a nap.
I like the way that the Warriors bench played last night. Iguodala, Looney was fantastic. Bogut back at the 5. No problems. Good to see you, man. And that actually might have been one of the best games Andrew Bogut has ever served up to the Warriors in a Warriors uniform. The truth is the Clippers are not going to win this series, but they have made a playoff statement. And it's one that matters and will matter to them this postseason. And I'm also a big fan of the fact that the NFL draft is coming up next week, and we are already looking at our first peculiar NFL draft story. Apparently, John Gruden and Mike Mayock have sent the Raiders scouts home without any dinner because they're worried about information leaking. Now, one person could say, well, that's a little odd. And there really isn't another team in football behaving like this, which always, you know, is sort of the flavor of the Oakland Raiders. But this is a little weird. It's a little weird, once again, when Gruden was brought in here to make sure that the, hey, this is a little weird moments became further apart. And that's really not happening. Speaking of not happening, The A's take out the dumbest full-page ad in the history of newspapers. We will illustrate that a little bit later on today. And I spent an awful lot of time last night and this morning trying to figure out a reason why another player that should be drafted by the Niners, other than Nick Bosa, if he's there. I think I like Nick Bosa so much myself right now that if I'm Arizona, I might be taking him number one. This guy is a stud. We're going to talk about that. And we got a lot for you this afternoon, including the Twitter videos that I had to post last night. There's still something rotten in the land of officiating. And that's not complaining after a loss. The Warriors won comfortably last night. Speaking of comfortably, we're always comfortable saying hello, Elena. What's coming up today on the game?
Now back to the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
So, Damon, is Durant like a Mexican Coke with real sugar, or is he an American Coke with the high fructose corn syrup? Oh, no, he's the real stuff. He's the Mexican Coke with the real cane sugar in it. He's the best tasting flavor in the refrigerator. That's who he is. He's Kevin Durant. He said so himself, and he finally conducted business as usual again last night as he, you know, shot the basketball en route to leading the Warriors to a lopsided playoff win. It was a good idea. He should keep that up. 888-957-9570. Warriors playoff coverage on 95.7. The game is presented by Great Clips, proud partner of the Golden State Warriors. We do have Monty Poole joining us live from L.A. at 4 o'clock. Game 4 of this series Sunday at Staples Center, 12:30. So feels like a little bit of an early time for an NBA playoff game. At least the Warriors usually don't like playing that early. Hopefully they get their yayas out and are ready to go. Game 5 is going to be Wednesday at Oracle. Ray Ratto in studio this afternoon. And Ray, you and I have talked an awful lot about officiating. I know we see the craft, I think, from different point of views. And last night, the craft of officiating as it applied to the Warriors and Clippers was a mess. And I think it was a mess that is indicative of a twofold complaint that I think there's something at play here. Some of the fouls called on the Warriors last night were so bad, not just in the context of the series or the postseason, but in that specific game. And it feels like the referees that are officiating against the Warriors are making a statement at best, or setting an agenda at worst at times with some of the fouls that are called. And my twofold complaint is that I think anyone watching, it's easy to see that the Clippers have been okayed to play clutch and grab basketball, while the Golden State Warriors aren't even allowed to graze players. And some of these offensive foul calls that are happening, look, this isn't complaining after a loss or trying to blame officials. I complained about the officials last game, and everyone's like, ah, they lost, you're a homer, they blew a 31-point lead. You should never complain. They won comfortably, and I'm telling you, something is up with these NBA officials. That was awful at times. I mean, egregious to the point where I'm running the playback on my DVR, Ray, and actually adding NBA official referees. Like, look at this. How could this be a foul on Durant? How could this be a foul on Curry? How could this be a double technical? That was the most ridiculous double technical I've ever seen issued in any basketball game, much less a playoff game. Two guys were smiling and talking. Smiling and talking. And that technical was rescinded by the league office today. That's how stupid it was.
Okay. I mean, this is where I sort of get off the train on all this stuff, because one, you have to convince me that one of the most efficient money generating teams in the history of this league is being deliberately screwed by the league that's benefiting from it.
It's not by the league. It's not league mandate. Well, I think it's the officials guys talking amongst themselves, saying, did you see the way their entire team pointed and laughed in Minnesota at one of our officials? Did you see that?
I don't, and I still refuse to believe that that's why you get the calls you get. I think sometimes guys blow calls because they blow calls. I mean, the double technical was preposterous. I knew it would get rescinded. And Steve Kerr raises the one valid point about that is if that's how you want to try to calm down a game, A, it means you don't have control of it to begin with. Two, those total up.
May I?
One of the things that worries me is that there's so many double techs being called to try to calm things down, but we're going to get hurt by that with the overall, you know, seven technical rule being a suspension. So that's helpful, but you can't have it both ways. You know, you can't just call a double T every time to keep the game in control, but then penalize the team that plays a lot of playoff games and end up adding up. And I think the league did a good job of recognizing that, you know, both Kevin and Jermichael were incredulous because they were actually laughing. They were talking a little trash, but that's part of the game. So I think the league did the right thing.
Look, I think the double technical was called because they overreacted to game two. And I think that's conceivable that happens from time to time. And the idea that you can appeal a technical, I mean, that system worked. So, I mean, I'm unbothered by that. There is a point to be made about relying on that as a control mechanism rather than doing what you ought to do in situations like that. Is walk over and basically say, do we have a problem here? And they may look at you incredulously, but at least you're asking, what am I walking into? I don't think that was well officiated. But the greater point, I mean, I still don't agree with, because if there was any sense that officials are deliberately trying to screw the Warriors, that would be dealt with by the league. Well, I don't believe that, you know, that Stephen Curry is officiated differently than any other superstar. I don't buy that at all because nobody tracks all the superstars. Say, what kind of calls do you get? What kind of calls do you get?
Well, Curry, because there's no reason to, because superstars get a superstar level of calls pretty much across the board. And that goes back to George Mikan. Like, don't tell me I'm making that up on my radio show. That is how this league has behaved since it dawned.
Okay, but you have to tell me that he's officiated differently than every other superstar in the NBA, and nobody has any data to point that out to me. Nobody does, because nobody follows it. You only worry about the guy you watch, and I would suggest that he's not treated differently than most superstars.
Do you think except he and James Harden get the same whistle?
James Harden works at this more than Curry does.
I know he does, but is it the same whistle?
No. They play different games. I mean, and that's part of the deal. They don't look at James Harden and say, gee, we like him better. We're just going to give him that call because he's just a better guy. Because that's not how that works. Curry does have a couple of habits that work against him that he's never changed over 10 years. One, if anybody's near him on a three-pointer, he will take every opportunity he has to throw himself on the ground. Sometimes he gets hurt, sometimes he gets hit, sometimes he doesn't. Harden initiates contact, and when you initiate contact, you have a better chance of getting a foul than when you're trying to act like you've been contacted. That's a fact, and that also goes back to the start of basketball.
When Steph Curry is barely making contact, he was in foul trouble again. How often, just use your memory real quickly on this one. How often was Kobe Bryant in foul trouble in playoff games?
Six times. I mean, what kind of question is that?
How often was Tim Duncan? How often was Michael Jordan?
They're all different players. They're all different players. And the fact that he's been in foul trouble in two games against a team that likes to play the way the Clippers play is not, you know, it's not dispositive of the way he's officiated. It's just not.
I mean, I got video evidence last night.
You have video evidence of what you want to have video evidence about. And I'm not trying to be a turd about this. I'm just saying that people look for what they want to look for. I mean, if you want to come to me and say, I've got video evidence that Donovan Mitchell is getting hosed, then I'll look at it because now I want to see how Curry is officiated as compared to other superstars. I mean, does he get more, quote, bad calls than Joel Embiid? I mean, do we know that? No, we don't. We don't have any evidence of any of it. We look at the guy we're interested in looking at. And I don't think that Stephen Curry is aggressively screwed by the officials. I don't.
I do.
Okay.
Right.
I guess are we now?
Right now, this is where we are. Let me just ask. So if you're really telling me, and I believe that you don't believe that, and there's nothing to see here, and this is always how it's been and always how it will be, then I guess my retort to that would be instantly, well, then it has to get better. It needs to get better. The NBA officials, to me, they look like they have an agenda. I think they behave like they have an agenda at times, if not overall arching from Adam Silver among their own fraternity. And I think the Warriors went out of their way to embarrass that fraternity. And this fraternity is going to play as many pranks on this group now as humanly possible between now and the end of the NBA Finals. Like, I just think that there's something not normal. There's something not normal about the way a player Curry size, like Patrick Beverley, is allowed to basically grab guys by the hips like he's in a conga line to prevent their motion from everywhere. But if Curry grazes someone at the top of the key, that's a foul.
Well, then either you have to tell me that they're doing that on purpose because they don't like Curry, or you have to show me evidence that he's the only player of his caliber who gets treated that way.
I just think he is officiated very peculiar, in a peculiar manner.
He's a guy who doesn't like contact, okay? He doesn't like making it. He doesn't like taking it. That makes him difficult to officiate. Are there bad calls that happen to him? Yeah. But if they were really going to work him over the way you say, then he would have fouled out more than two times in the last 5 years.
It's tough to foul out an MVP. I mean, how many times?
Oh, no, it happens a lot. You get fouled out a lot.
It doesn't happen a lot.
It doesn't happen a lot.
It doesn't happen a lot. I don't have the numbers in front of me. I know you love to see the numbers in front of you. I don't need the numbers in front of me to tell you that guys who have been MVP of this league, fouling out a lot is absolutely the wrong way to describe how they're officiated. They don't foul out a lot. 888-957-9570. And even though, you know, Kevin Durant did foul out of that game, and Curry was in foul trouble again for two games, the Warriors have enough firepower to overcome it, and they did last night. They were phenomenal last night. I don't want to go over, you know, I don't want to do let's be angry wagging our finger radio today, because everyone should be pretty happy with what they saw last night. If the Warriors are allowed to touch the Clippers at all, they're going to start winning games by 60 points in this series. This is Brian in Los Altos. What's up, Brian?
Well, thanks for having me on, Damon. I just have to agree with you 100%. Ray is missing your point. And I think the point that you're trying to make, which I completely agree with, is Curry, when he's cutting, because he's a constant motion, he's mugged. They grab jersey, they grab arm, it is a consistent thing. And it's not just Curry, it's also Clay, because they're moving so much. However, and they never get that call.
No.
However,
no, the minute a Warrior impedes anybody's progress, the minute a Golden State Warrior, the second anyone impedes anybody's progress, that is a foul. The Warriors can be held around every screen on the basketball court. No whistle, no nothing. It is weird. Continue, Brian.
Completely agree. And the example was when Curry beat Gallinari to the spot last night, he got whistled. I think that was his fourth foul. I'm a basketball coach. He had position. He had beat him to the place, and he gets whistled. But now on the flip side, Lou Williams, who was whining in game one when they were getting blown out and got blown out, that he didn't get a call. If that guy gets breathed on, he gets the call. Now, Lou Williams is silky smooth. He's a scorer. I don't have anything against him as a ball player. But this, it is completely uneven. And then the final comment I would make is the crazy guy that's guarding Durant.
Patrick Beverly.
I forgot his name. Pat Beverly. Beverly is actually in Durant's radius of where his feet are. He's underneath him. So if Durant actually takes a step, he's running into him. If he takes a shot, Beverly's underneath him. Beverly should have fouled out in three games. He should have fouled out. He fouled out in one. So I completely agree. I think for whatever reason, and it might be because of, you know, Curry pointing at the ref running down, it could be him accidentally hitting the ref that time with his mouthpiece. It could be that they're just so damn good that they want a change of the guard. But it is
Brian. Thank you, man. Appreciate the call. Again, I'm just using my own eyes and watching basketball, and I've only been doing that for, well, you know, I'm 44 years old. Let's whack the first 10 off there, really knowing anything. So I've only been watching the game for 34 years. And when I see certain things happen to the Warriors, I think, all right, that was either a bad, that's a bad call. That's a bad call in the situation. And that's a bad call based on that guy's reputation and what it should buy him with officials, according to the way basketball has always been officiated. From the game your kid played in when he was two or three or sheer three, whatever. I mean, the best player on the court usually stands out like a sore thumb to everyone watching the game, officials included, and is treated as such. It's human nature.
Well, then you have to tell me why he's public enemy number one. Because first of all, since you want to bring up James Harden, Harden averages more fouls committed per game than Curry does. That's over 5 years. I don't want to go back to 10. We'll just talk about the 5 years when people have been paying attention. Secondly, he's fouled out of seven regular season games to Curry's two. So because he's a contact guy, he gets more calls against him as well as for him. The only point I am trying to make, and then you can take all the calls from everybody who wants to tell me I don't know what I'm looking at, is that a bad call is not the same as a conspiracy.
Right.
And the idea that nobody has ever looked at, you know, we're going to list superstars and count bad calls only tells me that nobody else is seeing it that way. That Curry's issue, or everybody's issue with the way Curry's officiated, is simply local because everybody thinks he is basically not to be touched. And that's not the way this league has ever worked. You get touched. And if you create more contact, you get touched and you touch more. You get more fouls called against you. And Harden gets more fouls called against him than Curry does. So it's not like they leave him alone and let him run wild. That's not what happens. The data is clear. When you see a bad call on Curry, it sticks with you because you care about Curry. And that's okay. That's what fans get to do. But the evidence is not there to suggest that he is treated significantly worse than other superstars. That's all.
You're a cynical guy.
Hell yes.
I think you look for conspiracy and BS in places that maybe others wouldn't even bother looking for it. Like knowing that the Tim Donaghy thing happened, why do you have this implicit level of trust and infallibility in NBA officials?
Not infallibility. I know they get calls wrong. I mean, the evidence is clearly there. If they didn't get calls wrong, there wouldn't be the 2-minute report. All right? If they never got calls wrong, there wouldn't be rescinding technicals. They get stuff wrong. All I'm saying is Curry is not the only guy who gets treated badly in this league. And it's not because he's Stephen Curry. It's because guys get treated that way. And every great player in this league thinks officials have screwed them since day one.
It's not just the calls that he does get. It's the calls he doesn't get. Like if Steph Curry got officiated like Lou Williams, and they're kind of similar. I mean, obviously no one shoots like Curry. Lou loves to dive to the basket more. But when Curry goes in for the same level of layups or mid-range jumpers that Lou Williams enjoys, I never see him on the line. Lou Williams plays off the bench half the minutes and is on the line twice as much. And that just makes...
All I'm saying is that's anecdotal, because that's what you're watching the Clippers. You've now watched them basically six times this year. The four times you played the Warriors in the regular season and the two times here. If you watched for 82 games and all you did was fixate on Lou Williams, you would feel like he's getting screwed by the referees the same way you look at Curry.
I think Lou Williams is getting screwed by his head coach. How's that guy not a starter?
He's doing pretty well as a backup.
He is.
It works fine. Why would you screw with something that works well?
Because that's what I do.
Okay, fine. Good. I don't want to disabuse you of your notions. If this helps you enjoy a game, you should absolutely continue to do this until Curry retires. I'm just telling you what you're seeing is not peculiar to Curry.
Is it peculiar to Durant then?
Durant is a different player than Curry is. Durant's problem is that officials don't like him talking to them because he doesn't talk to them in a way.
Oh, so officials don't like him.
No, I didn't say that. Don't put words in my mouth.
You just said officials don't like him.
No, I said
because he talks to them.
Well, okay, but it's not they have an inherent dislike of him. They don't like the way he approaches them. And that's why he gets technical fouls. But I don't hear anybody saying Durant gets screwed by the officials by the way they call fouls.
I don't think I've ever seen him commit four offensive fouls in a game. That happened last game
two games ago. James Harden got called for four offensive fouls in the last 7 minutes of a playoff game.
But that's James Harden's game.
Okay, well, that's my point. That's my point. It's just there's... If you really believe that officials want to screw the Warriors, then you have to explain to me why they're so bad at it that the Warriors have won three titles in 4 years and have had the best five-year run in the history of the sport. If they're really that bad at screwing the Warriors, then basically there should be a mandate from the league that says, I don't care what you do, you foul all of them out every game.
I'm saying this started in Minnesota, and it hasn't stopped since Minnesota. And there's been
I've been hearing this complaint about Curry for 5 years.
So just me?
It's not you. It's Warrior fans because their guy is being wronged in their mind. What I'm saying is every fan base has that, and they've had that since time immemorial.
Right, but I'm not in the fan base. I won't say I'm
no,
not.
No, but you are.
Emotional.
You want them to win. You are a fan.
Of all the Bay Area teams that I came to, that I cover here, the one team that is most welcome in my home is the Golden State Warriors.
I'm not trying to denigrate you by calling you a fan. You enjoy watching them win. It matters to you that they win. That's okay.
It's not just matters to me that they win. It matters to me that they get to show us what they can do in a fair environment. And I think that sometimes officials tip it into an unfair environment because calls that I see all the time in every other game that I watch don't seem to be applied to the Warriors. And maybe that's my eyes or recency bias, but
no, I think it's because you watch Warrior games.
Well, but it's not the only basketball team that I watch.
No, but what's the percentage of NBA games you watch in a year that don't involve the Warriors in any way?
15 to 20,
I bet that's high.
And that's probably exaggeration.
I'll bet you watch 82 Warrior games a year. A, because it's your job, and B, because you enjoy it. And you might watch 5, maybe 10.
I watch at least 15, 20 Bulls games, at least.
Okay.
I watch the Kings. I watch the Lakers.
Do you get outraged by Lauri Markkanen, by the way they officiate him?
At times, I think that, well, no. I mean, Lauri Markkanen has zero resume. He's done nothing in this league. He's proven himself in no ways that are tangible to the world and universe of basketball.
In any game. You know what? We're going down a rabbit hole here.
We are, but it's fun, rabbit. It's a good rabbit hole.
All I'm saying is
our first guess is at 4. We got 19 more minutes in this rabbit hole.
Oh, I won't do this for 19 more minutes.
Well, then fine.
I will absolutely contrive a reason to go to the bathroom, and you can dance by yourself till 4.
Well, then I'll come back and I'll dance around with some calls. And
that would be fine.
At 4 o'clock, Monty Poole will join us here on 95.7 The Game, courtesy of Fremont Bank. Full service banking, no compromises.
Now, back to the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
Good to have you here. Thanks so much for stopping on by today. Ray Ratto along with yours truly, Monty Poole, joins us at 4 o'clock, a 5 before 5 at 4:45. We're going to be taking it to the tweets a little bit later on. Not everyone has time to give us a ring. Everyone has time to send a tweet that takes no time at all. We'll be doing that, around 6:30 tonight. So make sure you hang out with us the entire time you're getting home this afternoon. 888-957-9570. Carlos is in San Jose. We're talking about the Warriors last night. We're talking about officiating. Ray and I disagree about, I don't know. Look, I don't need to, sometimes I can just tell you, something feels funny. And when it comes to the Warriors and officials sometimes, the sequence of calls they do, that they don't get, something feels funny to me at times. Carlos, anything feel funny to you?
Hi, guys. No, it doesn't. They make mistakes, and I get it when, like, what happened last night with Durant or the technical, it got rescinded. They make mistakes, and I think everyone does. Sometimes we forget refs are, like, they are human beings, and I see them like parents in a way. With the Curry theme, which I do think they're a bit, they don't like plow on to Curry, but let's do this quick exercise. How many defensive All-NBA defensive teams has Curry been on so far? The answer is none. So he's not an elite defender where Beverly is or Draymond or even Bogut, who's been on an NBA All-Defensive team or a second team. So the refs are like parents in the way that, okay, I know this kid behaves, I know that kid's good at math, and this kid's not so good. They know Curry's not so good at defense because he lacks the contact. He doesn't want to go grab or hit an elbow or be in the face of the guy who's going to guard, right? Beverly is, or the other ones are. The same goes with Harden. He figured out, I think the problem is not the refs, is the players having to know how to adapt to the new way of refereeing or how to find a glitch in the system and take advantage of it like Harden did. He understood, okay, when they're guarding me, they're going, the guard motion is going downwards instead of upwards. So if I move my arms the other way when I'm going to ball check or...
Right, hey, Carlos, I love you, but thank you very much. Fine point your call for me.
I think there's not. I think there's not some sort of collusion against the Warriors.
Fair enough. Thank you very much. Let's go to George from, what do you know, the jungle. How you doing, George?
I'm just watching out for that tree, boys.
Just watch out for
my question, Ray, for you. My question is simple. I can understand why you don't want to say it's conspiratorial that they're looking out and treating Curry differently, but can you say at least that it's conspicuous?
I could say you can make it. You can describe it as conspicuous if you want. The only point I am trying to make that is, in every city, it's conspicuous for somebody because that's what people look at. All right. I mean, in Houston, I know for a fact because I talk to people there. They think Harden gets screwed routinely by the officials. I think it is human nature to want your favorite players to be treated differently or more fairly, however you want to define it. Curry is not unusual in that way. And whatever calls you think he's not getting, the people in Houston think Harden's not getting those calls either.
You know,
and I will go city by city. If you want to just say, we're just going to look for superstars. In Toronto, they believe Kawhi Leonard gets screwed.
Right.
I think it's human nature for fans to believe it. That's all.
Think about, though, you know, a lens is like an Oculus. I'm trying to zoom in on the Warriors. You're constantly trying to zoom out and look at all 32 teams. Yep. I'm not talking about the other 32 teams.
But
I'm talking about the Warriors.
And it's 30 teams.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
We're ready for the draft next week, and I can promise you that. But, like you're watching a game. Curry reaches his hand out. Beverly basically runs into Curry's hand, third foul on Curry, first half. And you just think, this is normal. This is normal. This is fine. You're the dog with the burning room around them.
I don't have a rooting interest.
But it's not rooting interest, but you're here to analyze it. You're thinking about it.
And I'm looking at him going, Why did that get called the way it got called? That's how I think it. And maybe I'm unusual that way, but that's how I look at it.
But so,
I don't look at this in terms of justice or injustice. I'm saying, why did that get called? And if I can't come up with a good reason why, I say, well, then that's a bad call. I mean, sometimes you don't get a call because the official got blocked out or he's at a bad angle. I mean, it's not always deliberate. And it's not always a case of they're picking on my guy and not somebody else's. Everybody thinks they get picked on. Can NBA officiating be much better? Yes. One of the problems is that veteran officials have been retiring at a pretty rapid rate. They're being replaced by younger guys who haven't seen as much NBA basketball, and they can and their worldview is different. You know, and players have to adjust to that all the time. This is not about whether it's flawless. It's about, is somebody being treated unfairly as compared to the other people in the league at his status level, if you want to play the superstar game? And what I'm telling you is nobody believes that their guy gets a fair shake ever.
Right, but there's human nature in officiating. There's human nature, and that leads us to believe that you get more calls in your own gym than you do on the road. Referees are more hesitant to blow the whistle on the road. That's why you said Scott Foster was actually a good official for them, because Scott will blow the whistle on anybody last night, and we talked about that. But there is, if we're willing to admit that that is there, why can't I feel like we're talking in circles for sure.
Well, we are. Well, I mean, we have been, you know, since the first time we talked about this. I'm not arguing that Curry gets a bad call from time to time. I'm arguing that it's not systematic. And I'm arguing that every other great player on every other team in this league always thinks that, and so do their fan bases.
But I'm telling you I haven't always thought that of every superstar in every team. I'm just I'm not some just got here slap you know what fanboy. I'm watching as objectively as possible, and I'm seeing things called and not called on this team that smell rotten to me, because it happens over and over again. It's passed from one crew to the next, and it makes me feel like since that Minnesota game, the long-extended FU of the NBA coaching fraternity has been extended in the direction of the Golden State Warriors, and they have yet to rescind that.
Well, then I'm just going to call nonsense on that.
Okay.
And we'll just have to disagree, because this is not going to get contentious. I don't view the game that way.
Let's have a poop sock fight.
Oh, no, let's just do this simply. You're a moron. There, debate over.
And you say you
watch the game. No. I am wisdom itself. We will agree on those 2 points, and we will move on.
And I'll just say you're watching the game, but you don't really see it, Ray.
No, you don't want to do that.
This is John in Concord. John?
Hey, you guys do a great job. Hey, one thing I will say, the Warriors live in a fishbowl. You know, they're the best team in the NBA, so they set the standards. And whether or not they're being, you know, sought out by the referees, I don't, you know, who knows there. But I'll take Ray's side on that. But I have a question. If Kevin Durant is the best pure scorer in the NBA, who's number two?
Number two,
Curry.
Best pure scorer. Well, I mean,
well, all right, pure scorer, and it doesn't matter how they score, where they go to the line or not. Maybe Harden, then Curry.
This is what I'm looking for. I was talking about the guy from New Orleans, you know, possibly, you know, putting him on the team if Durant leaves. But if
Anthony Davis?
Yes, sir. If the Warriors, if he's going to go someplace, you know, if they're looking somebody to fill his shoes, you know, that's what I was looking at.
John,
he'd
John,
be useful.
John, this is a super call 3 weeks, 4 weeks from now. Like, we're in the playoffs where it's really not about the future. It'll live in the now. Every now and then, live in the now. And the answer is Kawhi Leonard. Like, who would be the perfect replacement? Kawhi Leonard. There is no more perfect replacement. He probably actually fits the team better than KD does. Jay in San Francisco, you're on 95.7 The Game.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I always like to listen to both of you. Real quick, about officials, I grew up playing sports. Officials, really, you shouldn't notice them in the game. I think what people don't like is the appeal to the official as a decision maker in the game. You want to see athletes competing against each other and just the officials kind of floating and just almost like deciding where the edges are, not really being noticed. In soccer, for instance, what Americans don't like about international soccer, they don't like the fact that there's so much appeal to the influence that officials can have over a game. That's why you get people flopping. That's why you get people whining and crying. And that's why you get people making an artistry, you know, out of how to get calls from officials, because it does, in the end, influence the game.
They can be manipulated. I watch it every night.
And so how do we get – so I think it's on the officials, to be honest with you. If we're going to talk about human nature, it has to be extended across the board. And officials, they need to be very disciplined and not – allow themselves to be drawn into
Jay, you just talked right into a talking point that Steve Kerr had last night about the double technicals. And he said, look, I'm nervous about these double technicals because they're being used not to penalize a situation that needed a penalty. They're being used almost as an official's timeout to calm down the situation. And that's not what a double technical exists to do. It is the penalty after something went wrong. It's not supposed to be the hush now, you two. Stop. This isn't what we're doing tonight. And some of the officials are using it as that. And Steve Kerr spoke about that today.
One of the things that worries me is that there's so many double techs being called to try to calm things down. But we're going to get hurt by that with the overall, you know, seven technical rule being a suspension.
It's a 40-second soundbite, but you got the gist of it right there from the text line saying, Damon, even Barnett last night was saying it was out of control. And when Kevin Durant did go to the line once after he picked himself up off the floor, maybe Durant didn't have to hit the floor, but Barnett was like, well, he better because, you know, you can't get a call with these guys without it. 888-957-9570. Is that a little green dot who I think it is? Is it? It's about to be. Oh, no. Okay. One, you got it, as we get into our 4 o'clock hour, almost seeing Monty Poole.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.